of the cross. One preacher said that he got to a place in his ministry after preaching a certain sermon on the cross, and he mentioned the cross in some way in every sermon for the rest of his ministry. The way of the cross leads home. I heard a story about a little boy, and some years back, today maybe, if we pass through a small town, we might say the town has one traffic signal. But there was a way of people speaking in a time where they would call that one intersection in town the cross. And this little boy gets lost, and he's wandered off almost to the next town, and everybody knows everybody, but they're in another town, and the people didn't know his parents' name when they asked him, and he's just boo-hooing away, and he's as lost as he can be. And then all of a sudden he lit up, and he said, "The cross. If you can get me to the cross, I can find my way home from there." And anyone who's going to heaven is going by the cross in order to get there. The only way is through Jesus. Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12 tonight. We shared a message on praise last Sunday night, and we're going to talk about praise again tonight. If you're looking for three simple points and some stories to make everything real clear, I love it when it's like that, but it's not that way tonight. We're really going to have to listen. We're going to have to think about what we're talking about here, because there's going to be a combination of prayer and praise that comes together, and one point just kind of flows to another. And sometimes I'm wrong with how it comes across, but I just feel like tonight it's such a one that's not the easiest listening, but there's some good stuff here. Last week, we did make three simple points, and when we talked about praise, we talked about the fact that praise is personal. It may be that you wandered into church just like me one time, and you kind of observed the people, and next thing you know, you got to understanding by a public service that people are praising God. But there was a time that praise became personal in our lives. There is individual praise as well as unified praise in the church. And then we talked about the fact that it's perceivable. The more we get to know our Lord, the more we get to understand the Word of God, the greater we can praise the one that we're getting to know better. And that makes obvious sense. And then also, praise is permanent. Praise is an everyday activity that's to be in the life. We talk about having a daily feeding on the Word of God. We need that daily. We should do that daily. We talk about telling others about Jesus. That's definitely something that should be in our everyday life. As well, praising God is. I didn't read this portion of verses last week concerning that. But in Acts 2 with the early church, it says, "And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." With everything that was going on with this early church, they were praising God constantly in their lives. And tonight, we're going to look at prayer and praise and how they go together. Here in this second letter to the church at Corinth, we're familiar with the 11th chapter that speaks of all the peril, all the troubles that Paul went through, the dangers and the calamity that came upon him for Christ's sake. And he gives all the credit to God for being able to face these things, endure them, and get through them. He persevered, and God gets the glory. And often, You know, in Paul's writings, and we just see throughout the Bible, we look at three phases, a three-phase work in the life of God's children. And that would be the past, the present, and the future. And by the way, before our text tonight, there in verse 10, we see a good example of it. Paul writes, "Who delivered us from so great a death," that's the past, "and doth deliver," that's the present, "in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us," and that's the future. As we read of these three phases, aren't you glad that the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Yesterday's love and kindness and grace and mercy, it is still here today, and it is going to be present tomorrow when we wake up. We can be glad that we don't have to deal with a fickle God who operates according to feelings and does a lot of changing, but a God who, in all of His attributes, continues the same, and His attributes repeat themselves, and we're blessed in our lives, causing us to rest in Him because He does not change. That means a lot to me as I consider my childhood and so many things that changed, and a lot of things in negative ways. But then I learned of a God who never changes, and it is good to be able to rest in that, to experience Him and to have a renewing that we get by God. And as we walk with Him, we find that His grace never lets us down. The second letter to the church at Corinth, it begins with the God of all comfort. And Paul is praising the God of all comfort. The God of all comfort has helped him through his calamity. And all glory goes to God. But God works through His people, okay? We're going somewhere. God works through His people. So then in verse 11, we see an acknowledgement of the prayers of God's people, as well as the power of God who worked to help Paul. It says, "Ye also helping together by prayer." So though all praise belongs to God, we should never hold back from acknowledging our brothers and sisters in Christ and the faithful prayer warriors, if you will, that we have for one another. God preserved Paul, and He did so because He can in his ability and his might, and He's moved by the prayers of people. And so Paul was prayed for. He thanks this church for praying for him. God preserved Paul and did so as a result of the answer of the prayers of the Christians. We are so greatly aided by the prayers one for another. The Bible says to pray one for another. And though we don't see the effects of this all the time, the power behind praying one for another, it is so great, and it's something that every Christian can do, and it's something we're all to be faithful to. Paul commends Corinth for praying for him, and now he calls them to praise, an encouragement for them to praise God. Verse 11 says, "Ye also, helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf." You've prayed for me, and we're going to praise God. But let's look at prayer as we get started. And when we think of that word prayer, we need to think of that word power. Because there is power in prayer. We have a conduit by way of prayer, by which much mercy and grace flows to us and to those we pray for. You know, and we always have the mercy of God. With God's people, our cup runneth over. It just spills out upon us. And God's mercy is always in our lives. But you know, there are those specific times, there are those specific things that supplication is to be made to God concerning things that are going on in our lives. God is working us into a faithful prayer life, and He's working as a result of our prayers many times. And by the way, He's not doing this or that sometimes when there is not prayer. Supplication, prayers to God, that is a sign of humility in the child of God. And it's glorification to God. The praying Christian is showing their weakness in and of themselves and God's greatness. Prayer is humbling. It's humbling to express our need for God. That's what the prayer life's all about. Are we really depending upon the Lord? Well, a big telltale in that is the prayer life as to how much we're seeking God. Prayer is humbling. Our posture in prayer is humbling. Whether we're bowing the knee or whether it's our heart being bowed, we're bowing to God in reverence to Him, and we need Him. What we profess in prayer is humbling before God, because it's in prayer that we tell the Lord our faults. We tell Him our shortcomings, those offenses that we have committed against Him. Those sins come out in prayer. Prayer honors the Lord, and it teaches us our unworthiness. And God knows what He's doing. When I mention some things that it's a requirement of prayer, if you will, God knows what He's doing, and He's working in our lives, and He's predestined us to be conformed to the image of His dear Son. His plan and His pattern in our lives is to make us more like Jesus as we mature and grow. So He doesn't just give us every single thing. Everything is by grace, but there are those things that we're to go to God in prayer over. The Bible says, "Ye have not because ye ask not." Okay? So there are those things that the child of God might go without prayer life. There are things that God grants us upon our petitioning of Him, that we might clearly see how poor we are without Him. We are never informing God of any fresh news right off the press. It's for our benefit that we petition God, that we supplicate to God. And it's a good way for us to see where we are and what we are and who God is and where He is. God ought to have His place, and we must have our place and relationship to Him so that everything can fall together as it should. You know, the greatest spiritual health that a Christian can have is by constantly seeing the need to depend upon the Lord. And we see that we have nothing in and of ourselves, and that all of our needs are met by way of the Lord. Everything we need comes by way of Jesus. Prayer is beneficial to the child of God in multiple ways. It shows God we love Him. It shows the Lord we trust Him. When we seek Him and His guidance, when we seek Him with our requests, for our needs met, that we go to Him. Our strength comes from Him. It's good for us to look to heaven with our knees in the dirt. We get up and we face battles with confidence when we see we're outnumbered even and we're outmatched. When we find our strength in Him, when we bathe our lives in prayer. You know, the same supply that was given to Moses when he looked at himself and doubted. The same supply and strength that was given to Joshua, this young apprentice, after Moses died and he was to take over. That same God, the same God who gave Gideon the victory in that battle, dwindled his army so that he can see it wasn't the sword of Gideon, it was the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. This same God is the one who supplies us our strength today. A lot of our supply is going to come through prayer. You know, God loves to hear from the humble heart. He invites us into a prayer life with Him. And when life gets heavy, sometimes God's not lifting it until He has something to listen to. You know what I'm saying? Because He's looking to get our attention. He drives us to our knees, and He uses the life circumstances to do so because it's good for us. It's good for us to be on our knees. It's good for us to seek Him and depend upon Him for all things. There's individual time that we're to spend to God in our heaviness, as well as being united in others in prayer. You know, there is a uniting that happens with the church when there's praying going on. There are different saints of different ages and different maturity levels. And I love to hear the zeal in a prayer of a brand new child of God, like a baby lifting up their hands to God to be lifted up when they can already understand that. And then there's the prayers of the seasoned saints that are wise and they pray according to the will of God. And we learn how to pray by other saints many times. And it's a uniting thing that happens. You know, the Bible says that every joint supplieth. And one thing that every child of God can do is pray. Every joint supplies in different ways to the church, in different ways in the Christian life. But it is shown by way of prayer as well as practice of service in other ways. You know, I never discourage a question, a spiritual question, when it's sincerely asked. And many times I've been asked before, why pray? You know, every saint at every age and every growth level becomes more confident that something is being added. Something's being added to the church that's good from heaven. Something's being added to their lives. Something's being added to the one they're praying for when they seek the Lord in prayer for others. Every joint supplieth. And though we are obedient to both the offering plate and the offering of prayer, the offering of prayer is so much more valuable and so much more powerful for the church. When we meet for prayer in the middle of the week, and we mention 50 saints of God, and we mention a dozen needs that are going on, we must see the importance of being able to contribute to that. That all God's saints are gathered together and praying. Not too long ago, I mentioned for a few weeks, please pray for a summer camp for our church. You know, if you do not have a camp, these days the way it works, if you do not have a camp lined out for the next year, the year before, the summer before, then it's likely you're not going to be able to get a camp. So we shared it as a prayer request. And all of a sudden I got an email this week, and it was a camp saying, Lakeway, Pastor Kenneth, we just had a week open up that we would like to offer you for camp. And it's a place that we want to go, and it's not the ideal week. Maybe I should have been more specific in prayer, but it is a good week. It's a week we can manage, and it's a week we can use. And I just mention that because the second I looked at that email, I said God's people were praying. People were praying for this. I've mentioned several times I'm in awe of this testimony of this preacher who got hit by a truck and then ran over by that truck. His lungs aspirating. He's on 100% oxygen about 3 or 4 days ago. And all of a sudden, I keep getting reports. And this preacher's probably going home to his house tomorrow or Tuesday. God's people have been praying. God moves upon the prayers of His people. While I say that and consider what Paul's talking about here, a preacher don't have to be hit by a truck to pray for him. You know, Paul invited and welcomed prayers for himself on his missionary journey, and preachers don't do it often, but preachers ought to welcome prayers more often. I mean, I was guilty of looking at the preacher years ago when I got saved as just this big spiritual superhero that never needs prayer. The preacher needs prayer too. The power of the preacher is not in the person that he is. It's in the precepts he proclaims. It's in the person living inside him. And he's also going to be affected by the prayers of the people. And thank God for people who pray for the preacher. If you've never been a preacher, you don't understand the responsibilities of the preacher. And I don't say that to say anything special about the preacher. It's just that he's doing something that's not understood unless one's walking in those shoes. And so please pray for the preacher when he gets hit by the truck and when he doesn't, because there are responsibilities and things to take care of that he needs the prayers of God's people for. The people of God can understand enough about it to be considered and moved into prayer for the preacher. Praise God for those saints who relentlessly knock at God's door. Not just knock and go away, but knock at God's door. Relentlessly praying for the church and praying for the preacher. That is of greater value than anyone can ever know. And it's of greater value than I can even articulate or say in any way. I can't describe it, but it's great. I think I mentioned a sweet saint named Betty Rhodes not too long ago in a message, and I'll never forget her. She wasn't a member of the church I pastored, but her church didn't have Sunday night service, and she came and worshiped with us, and she came and exhausted our prayer list, and she was there early every Sunday night and asking me updates for everyone. I tell you what, I didn't want anything bad for her church. I knew they were having issues, and I was praying for God's will for His church. But I couldn't help but have the thought that maybe Betty would become a member of the church. What a powerful member of the church she would have been. She couldn't get around too well. She lived on a fixed income. But what a powerful member she would be because of her prayers for everyone. Wow. When you think of prayer, think of the word power. When you think of prayer, think of the word praise. We know all too well that these two words go together, because when we've prayed, and when we've prayed, and when we get an answer to prayer, what do we say and what do? We give praise to the Lord. We connect these things, prayer and praise. Sometimes we get the answer according to the way we ask. God sees fit to grant that. And so we give Him praise. He's the great physician. He's the one who has worked out things with the job. He's the one who has worked out problems in the family. And so we praise Him for it. Not only for those things that He might answer in such a way that we ask, but we might go months and months and pray for healing for someone. That's our prayer request, but God takes them home. You know, we pray for protection when the storm comes through, but maybe the whole rooftop's peeled off and all of our possessions are gone. And what does the Christian learn to say? Just like the song, "It is well with my soul." I tell you what, that's some high praise right there. It is well with my soul. Well, I gave my request to God, and I was trusting Him, but things didn't turn out that way for my family, for my job, for this, for that. But my God makes no mistakes. And I trust Him that what He did was good. There was no oops with God. Nothing slipped through His hands. That's some high praise to God right there. When thankfulness is not expressed to God, is not voiced, when thankfulness is silent, the tank of gratitude is empty. To forget to praise God, it hurts the Lord, and it's very bad for us. Praise to God, it's a holy thing to do. It's a spiritually healthy thing for us to do. It's a heavenly duty for the Christian to give praise to God. It pleases God. It shows Him the thankfulness of our hearts. Specific, sincere praise. When the humble herald up thanks to the Lord and gratefulness to God, silence over spiritual blessings, man, that's giving the devil our tongue, isn't it? That's a harsh sounding statement, but just think about it. When we're silent about something to give God praise for, David was far from that as he danced before the Lord. Praise is not only something that comes out in word, but it comes out in excitement. There is nothing wrong with getting excited about God and the mighty works of God in our lives. Praise is not just with words, it's accompanied by excitement. Consider how noticeable a God-praising Christian is. Don't you just want to be around them? Don't you just want to wander and sidestep over across the room just to get close to a God-praising Christian? Imagine every member of the body truly praising God together. Imagine that early church with the constant praise that was going on. Souls were being saved. Souls were being added to the church. They were breaking bread daily. They were in the Word of God daily, getting together with one another every day, and they were praising God. Picture every individual member being praised up and praising God together. Praise alone helps us overcome some problems. It sure puts a sweet salve on it. Just to praise God in the midst of our problems. That's what the psalmist did. I was just talking about that before service. Sometimes the psalmist started out in complaint. David approached God from an angle as though there was a question there so many times. And maybe he was teetotering on the wrong attitude until he started talking to God about God's Word. concerning the issue in his life. And that psalm will end in praise given to God. Praise alone helps us overcome many problems. One time the psalmist says that it was just enough that the Lord knew what he was going through. There are some psalms in there where no request is made, but he praises God that he knows. You know, Pastor Stone says sometimes we don't even know what to say in prayer, but help. I recall the testimony of one, when they didn't know what to say, they said, "I know that you know, Lord. I know that you know." Praise alone helps us overcome many problems. May it be contagious throughout the church. May this be a church that praises God. An uplifting, joyful church is a church that gives real, genuine, and specific praise to God, loves the truth, and is thankful for teaching of the truth, loving the Word of God. Because there are many today who have started telling the people what they want to hear instead of what they need to hear. I wonder what that's like. I guess it's easier on the surface. It's easier initially to tell people what they want to hear. But oh, think about the problems down the road when they don't hear what they need to hear. Praise God for those who preach and teach Jesus Christ and His death, burial, and resurrection for our sins, according to the Scriptures. And they don't hold back. Those who will preach what convicts as well as what encourages. We need conviction. The Holy Spirit convicts us. We need the Word of God to convict us. If we don't think we need that or don't want that, well, we can just go humble ourselves alone with God and tell Him we're sorry and tell Him we know how much we need it. The Word of God is quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Paul wrote the first letter to the church at Corinth. And then he got the report. And Paul was dealing with that within himself about maybe how firm, how harsh he might have seemed to come across. And he was thinking about it. And then when he got that report that the church repented, he rejoiced. They didn't sorrow unto death, but they had godly sorrow that leads to repentance. And he was thankful for the faithfulness of God with His Word. Pray for the Word preached. And praise God for the Word preached. Verse 12, "For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you ward." You know, souls are saved by the gospel. Lives are changed by the Word of God. Sometimes it's one sermon that will cast such light to redirect someone's life. I've been thankful that God has known my need, and the preacher may not have, but I've had these divine moments, if you will, where I heard exactly what I needed to hear in a sermon. And God tweaked my path, if you will, and for benefit, for good, for His glory. People are saved by the gospel. May the gospel shine right through the preacher to the people. May the preacher be faithful to God and not to man. There are people who don't understand some things that I won't do by conviction. And all of a sudden, they become experts on the preacher's job. I'm talking about people in the world who don't have a church to do things and don't have a preacher to officiate things, and they've asked me to do some things, and then all of a sudden they're an expert on me and I don't even think they're Christians. And I just said, you don't know my CEO. You just don't know what the repercussions are for me with my CEO. May the preacher be faithful to God and not man. May he not rely on his earthly qualities. May he not find his power in those abilities that he may have in and of himself. May fleshly wisdom and may speaking ability be rejected as the preacher's confidence, but may he depend on the Word of God. May he depend on the power of heaven to preach and to pastor. Praise God for the preacher and teacher who believes every word of the Bible today. I'm so shaken by statistics that pastor brings up of those who do not believe the entire Bible is the Word of God. And by the way, from that fall away rate of preachers who fall out of the ministry, let me go back to that point of praying for the preacher. Amen. We need it. Praise God for those who remain carried by the grace of God, exhorting and sounding out warning to the people. Pray for the preacher and pray for one another. We need to pray because surely the truth is, not every church, not the entirety of every membership is saved. The preacher needs to do the work of an evangelist, that people on the membership roll who are not on heaven's roll will be saved. May the word continue to go forth in power and chip away at the hard hearts. And speaking of those who have not been saved, there just is no praise that can be given to God. And there is no prayer that can be accepted until someone is saved. The first connection that's going to truly happen with anyone's life with God is to respond to the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ and His death and burial and resurrection for our sins according to the Scriptures. What a great day that is, maybe would be tonight, for the soul who would admit that they have never truly praised God, that they have never truly talked to God, and He's never heard their prayer, but that they might trust tonight, trust by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He will save them from their sins and become a child of God tonight by grace through faith, that not of yourselves, it is not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Not by good works, but unto good works. I work only by the grace of God and because the Lord has saved me. He's going to take me home to heaven one day. And I'm going to work for Him till then, amen. And I know that that's a heart of all of us. Prayer and praise, they really go together. I can't see one happening without the other. And we can't see any of those happening if a soul has never been saved. So tonight, this is your opportunity. Child of God, let God work in your life as you know He needs you to, as He has called it out in your own heart, beyond anything that I even realize or know tonight. And move and obey God. And if you're here tonight and you've never been saved by Jesus Christ, obey the gospel. That word obey means to render submissive acceptance. Accept what Jesus Christ has done for you. You're already accepted in the Beloved if you will accept Him, because He's provided everything you need that you might be saved from your sins. Let us bow to the Lord. Father, we come to You again tonight, and we thank You for an opportunity to be in Your house, to consider how worthy You are of consuming our hearts and minds, and us being in awe of You, and giving You praise. Father, may we have grateful hearts to You. Dear God, if that's not going on in the heart of one tonight, continually, reveal to us what we're allowing to get in the way, that we would put something else before praise to You. Or maybe we haven't deliberately wanted to, but maybe it's a problem and we're consumed with that and we're neglecting to give You all the praise that is due to Your great and holy name. Father, forgive us tonight. May we be a praising people. May You have done something through Your Word in spite of me tonight to help Your people. If there be one here tonight who does not know You as Lord and Savior, we pray that they can praise You for the first time, and that You will incline Your ear unto them when they talk to You, Lord, and that You'd save them through Your Son, Jesus Christ, for it's in His name that we pray. Amen.